folks. This is Scott Weingart, and you're listening to the MCrit Podcast. I'm going to keep this short today because tomorrow I'm going to put up a 40-minute lecture from Richard Dutton. Today I wanted to talk about the mind of a rhesus doc. Now, this is going to be the first in a multi-part series, something I've been thinking about for a while. And I guess, first off, I should explain what I mean by rhesus doc. And the thing is, in emergency medicine, there's this growing dichotomy between folks that just want to take care of what is essentially family practice patients who come into the ED because either they can't get into a doctor's office or, you know, they just find it more convenient. And then there's the folks that really want to take care of sick patients, the critically ill, the crashing patient. And I'm pretty sure most of my listeners are in that latter category. And if you are, then in my mind, you're a resuscitationist. And you could be a resus doc, or you could be a resus nurse, or a PA, or a paramedic, or any of the other folks that are listening to this podcast. I'm just going to use the term resus doc to broadly encompass all of them, but please don't be offended. I'm certainly including all you other folks in that mix. So today we're going to talk about the mind of a resuscitationist. And in particular, what I wanted to talk to you about today is really, I think, best summed up by a quote, which I've seen variably attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, but I can't really find a great source to see if that's true or not. But the quote is that amateurs talk strategy and experts talk logistics. And now the military has adopted this quote. It's a paradigm they follow. And I think it's very applicable to resuscitation as well. Amateurs talk strategy, experts talk logistics. Let me tell you what I mean by logistics. Logistics is how things are going to actually occur in the real world, how you're going to get the equipment, how you're going to put that stuff together, and how you're going to actually make a procedure or a resuscitation or anything else in emergency medicine actually work, as opposed to strategy, which is sitting around on a table or at a simulator and saying, here's what I guess I would do. Or you say, I'm going to put a chest tube in, and you stick that piece of plastic in that mannequin, and boom, chest tube is in. Well, that's not the same thing as making it happen in the real world. And as simulators get more and more high resolution, it'll get closer and closer. But the point is, when you're at an oral board and you say, at this point, I'll intubate the patient using RSI, it's a little bit different than actually making that happen. So logistics is all the stuff that goes into making things happen. And if you are a resus doc, then you damn well better be a logistician. You better deal in logistics. So my take is that any resus doc worth their salt should know how to work every single piece of equipment in their department. They should know how to make all the processes function. They should know the locations of all the items they might need during a resuscitation. In essence, they shouldn't rely on anyone else, which is not to say they are not part of a team, which is not to say that they can't work with their team members and actually have some of the duties performed by others. But the point is that when push comes to shove, they could do any part of the resuscitation themselves. Now, what brought this to mind is a case I had a couple days ago. It was a very bad trauma case, and there was a whole bunch of things we had to do to make sure this patient left the ED alive. And all of them required incredibly complex knowledge of the logistics of all the procedures, of all the processes of trauma resuscitation. And what I realized is that a good resus doc thinks about this stuff, not during the resus, but before the resus, after the resus, and pretty much during all of the free time that's running through their mind of the logistics of resuscitation. What we essentially need to be is akin to the anesthesiologist. The anesthesiologist, they don't ask a nurse to come in and set up their infusion pumps. They set up their infusion pumps. They don't get someone to come in and take care of the ECMO machine or the bypass machine during a cardiac case. They have to know how to do it. Now, sure, there might be a perfusionist there to run the stuff, but they have to understand what's going on to the level of knowing which switch to turn, not just being able to quote flow rates, but actually know how to work the machinery. Same thing for ventilatory management, all right? You have to know how to work your ventilator. It's not enough to say, here's the settings I want and hope that a respiratory therapist is there to make them happen. You should know how to do it. You should know how to put a patient on BiPAP. And so, I mean, we could go through a ton of examples. You want to put an A-line? Well, what if the nurse who's on with you doesn't know how to set up an A-line setup? That shouldn't be a barrier to putting an arterial line in. You should know how to do that setup. Infusion pumps. Gosh, I could quiz, I think, 99% of the residents I've ever trained, and one out of 100 would know how to actually work an infusion pump to start a de novo pressor drip, mix it up themselves and put it on an infusion pump and make it happen. What if you have three sick patients at once and there's no one else except you who can make that happen? You need to know how to do it. Prothrombin complex concentrate. You want to reverse the coagulopathy of a head bleed on Coumadin. They have an INR of 7 and you get the PCC from the pharmacy or the blood bank. Do you know how to mix it? Do you know how to make that happen expeditiously? Or do you have to rely on someone else? Are you going to be calling up the blood bank and pharmacy and asking them how to mix it? That is the wrong time to know the logistics of that particular medication. Chest tubes. Now, if you're a resident or attending listening, you know how to put in a chest tube. But do you know exactly how to set up your Pleurivac? Do you know what kind of Pleurivac you have? Is it wet seal, dry seal? Do you know what those terms mean? Do you know how to troubleshoot the device if things go wrong? Pacemakers. All right, not very frequently performed. Most of my residents could rattle off how to do it, at least theoretically. Do they know how to work the pacemaker generator? Do they know what all those controls mean? Do they know how to troubleshoot it when it doesn't seem to be working? I mean, I could go on and on, but again, I want to keep this short. So the question is, how do you develop these logistical skills? Well, I'm going to bring up another concept that goes on in the mind of a good resource doc, and that's visualization. And it could be retrospective or prospective visualization. Prospective means, what would I do if a guy came in, borderline vital signs after being stabbed in the chest? Not in the theoretical strategical sense, but in the logistical sense, meaning, okay, I want to put a chest tube in. Do I know exactly where in my recess room that chest tube is? I'm visualizing, not just theoretically, I'm actually visualizing in my head where I'd walk to get that 32, 36, 40 French chest tube. All right, where's my chest tube tray? What other items aren't in that tray that I need to put that chest tube in? Where are those items? Where's my Pleurivac? Do I know how to set it up? Let me set it up in my head. Oh, I want that patient intubated while I'm doing all this. Where's that equipment? What do I need to make it happen? What items do I need set up beforehand? Oh, well, that brings up an interesting point. I probably should go back to when I got that notification for this trauma patient, all the things I would set up before they actually arrived. And where do those items live? And you could play out an entire resus in your head beforehand. And if you do that, surprisingly, it works the same areas of the brain as actually doing it. And you could practice without a real patient, without a simulator, and that will build those mental pathways. You will be that much quicker when the shit is actually hitting that fan. Retrospective visualization. If you had a bad case during one of your shifts, take it from step one. And don't do it in the general sense. Do it in the second by second sense. Visualize every piece of that resus. What went right? What went wrong? Who had a flail to find equipment that should have been there? Who had a flail to make that equipment work? Who had to figure out how to set it up in the midst of the resus instead of knowing how beforehand? And how you're going to make that better. And then after that visualization, either prospective or retrospective, find people that know where things are or know how things work and make them teach you. Not in the superficial sense, but in the sense that you know exactly how to do it. Then ask them what problems they've run into that they've had to troubleshoot and make them teach you that as well. That is being a logistician. That is not being an amateur, but being an expert at resuscitation. All right. I'm going to leave it there again tomorrow. 40-minute lecture, Rick Dudden, master of hemostatic resuscitation. That'll be put up there. Thank you so much for all the comments and feedback I'm getting. Check out the Facebook page. Sign up for the mailing list. And this is Scott Weingart for the MCRIT podcast saying I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.